Okay, this morning I want to take my text from Ephesians chapter 6, a very common scripture verse that a lot of us know. I'm going to read verse 12 and verse 13. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, being able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Father, we thank you for the integrity of your word. We thank you for the power that is in your word. We thank you because your word says, unto you alone shall the gathering of your people be. You are the reason why we have come here this morning. Father, we welcome your presence. We thank you because you are already here. We thank you because you will minister to us. We thank you because you will write on the tablets of our hearts. We thank you because you will give us confidence, boldness to overcome every challenge of life. Minister to us, O Lord. Give us the spirit of quick understanding, grace and ability to stand, having done all to stand in Jesus' mighty name. So that you and I can withstand. Because times, tides come, unexpected tides, things you are not ready for can sweep you away. That is why every child of God must be ready at all times. Every minister of God must be ready to share the word of God at all times. Satan does not give advance notice. Problems of life don't give advance notice. Don't let life catch you unawares. You can't tell the devil, don't do it yet, I'm not ready. You got to be ready every day, every minute, every second, every hour of your life. This morning, I want to begin a series titled, You Must Not Lose in the Battle of Life. You must not. You cannot afford it. I cannot afford it. Losing is not an option. Failure is not an option. The God we serve is a winning God. It's a champion God. The one who created you and I in his image. You see, where does the battle of life start from mostly? It starts from the mind. The mind can be beautiful. The mind can be dangerous. A dangerous instrument or a useful instrument in our lives. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6, and I read, for though we walk in the flesh, that is to say we eat, we wash, we sleep, we wake, we feel in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We can't fight the devil with physical things. But but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in the mind can become a stronghold. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Casting down imaginations. Many people in the church, your mind has become your enemy. Your mind has become your place of terror instead of your place of pleasure. No wonder we are taught to guard our hearts. The hearts we are taught to guard is not just the one we use in breathing, but the heart out of which proceeds the issues of life. It's talking about our minds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. If you are not ready, Satan will take advantage of you. If you are not prepared, if you are not on your guard, if you let down your panoply, Satan will take advantage of you. It says, for we are not ignorant. You can't claim ignorance of the devices of the devil. Stand your guard. Be ready. Be prepared. Cover yourself. Shield yourself from the attack of the evil one. You never know when he will unleash himself. Who will ever think that one day we are going to come and somebody will wake up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning and say, I'm going to that church building and I'm going to deface it. You think the church, the sign should show, oh, this is a sacred place. Satan doesn't care. He doesn't care. He will look for any way, anything to penetrate. My conclusion is, whatever we are doing, we have to continue to do. Because Satan is mad. And we want to get him more mad. We are going to intensify our prayers. I refuse to be intimidated by evil. You see, a lot of people don't understand Satan. They don't understand the devil. Why do I say that? Some people think, well, as long as you don't mention him, you don't pray aloud against him, you know, you just mind your business and go your way, he will leave you alone. That's a lie. Do you understand me? You don't even have to know he exists before he comes to trouble you. He's a troublemaker. You know some people in your class, in high school, primary school, huh? That they are just troublemakers. They are the ones who will throw chalk at you. Huh? They are the ones who will make paper plane while lecture is going on. And they are throwing it at you. They are the ones who you get up to the front of the class to say something. By the time you are coming back to sit down, they pull your chair behind you. Troublemakers. You didn't do nothing to them. Who are the bullies in school? You don't have to offend them. And they stop you in the hallway. Just snatch your books and pull them down. And laugh at you and walk away. Troublemakers. You don't know them. You didn't do nothing to them. They get your bag and put scorpions inside it. That's who the devil is. It's a troublemaker. Hallelujah. Why is he mad? He's already mad simply because you and I, we are created in the image of God. That alone makes Satan mad. We are made in the likeness of God. He's mad. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. He's mad. You are trying to make a headway in life. He's mad. You decide to make something good concerning your destiny. He's mad. Can come at you anyhow. He fights rough. He can come at you anytime. He fights dirty. You know, they say some people are bipolar. Satan makes people bipolar. I'll give you an example. 1 minute is making you feel as though you are better than everybody. It brings pride. You begin to compare yourself with somebody else. Look at that. Well, I'm better than that person. At least I'm not having the same problem. You begin to compare and contrast. Anytime that happens, when you begin to compare yourself with somebody else, know that the devil is already inside you. How can you compare yourself with another person? Even your fingerprints are not the same. Your history is not the same. Your destinies are not the same. And yet you decide to weigh yourself side by side somebody else instead of against the word of God. Because when you compare yourself with somebody else, guess what will happen? Eventually, you begin to develop bitterness. You begin to develop superiority complex. You begin to develop inferiority complex. You begin to have envy. You begin to have jealousy. Instead of you to be confident and happy with who God has made you. The same one person, on the other hand, Satan now makes you feel like nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody sees me. That kind of mentality. Well, I don't blame you. If only I went to the same school like you did. If only I lived in the same neighborhood like you did. Life would be better for me. It's a lie. They can put you in Buckingham Palace. Nothing will change. They can give you a gold bed to sit on. Nothing will change. Because when you have that kind of a mentality, there's a problem. Environment doesn't change mentality. You see, Satan's major agenda is for you to ignore God and ignore the ways of God. Ignore the plans of God for your life. He achieved that agenda in the Garden of Eden. He took the attention of Adam and Eve away from God. And that was the downfall of mankind. Just like some people are out there trying to tell your children to ignore your advice. Did you see on the news? This happened recently in Canada. For 7 months, there was a poster about explicit sex education, so-called, on the wall of a classroom. For 7 months, explicit. For 8th graders. They show them pictures of how to have sex. In another school, they are telling them there's nothing wrong if you feel like being a girl. And then later you can switch back to being a boy. That's how much ground Satan is gaining in the world we live in. We can't fold our hands, brethren. You can't give the life of your children over to the school that the teachers become their Lord and their God, that the teachers become their final word. What they learn in the university becomes law in their life. It's a lie. No wonder our world is becoming more dangerous. Our children are becoming more useless. I remember in school, we used to call it Form 1. I don't know what they call it these days. Your handwriting alone. Huh? Not like hen scratching the ground. It's artistic. I used to enjoy my seniors bringing me their note to copy for them. Because they love my writing. Today, many of our students will write, you can't even read it. Now they write in abbreviation. NYP. P-I-T-R. Do you know what that means? Parents in the room. You just see one person is texting the other, and that one is replying, P-I-T-R. So it's a code. It's not a computer code. It's a deception code. The Bible says, be vigilant. Be vigilant. It says your adversary, devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about looking for whom he may devour. Hallelujah. He doesn't want many people to know God. He's picking candidates every day for hell. As if that is not bad. bad enough. The worst of it is now, those of us who are in church, it now makes us feel as though those people outside, they don't need Christ. Hello, somebody. Oh, well, as long as I go to church, I don't need to tell anybody about the love of Christ. I don't need to let anybody know that Jesus Christ died for them. I don't need to tell them that Jesus loves them. We become comfortable by ourselves as though those lives don't matter. We value ourselves alone and nobody else. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4? He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So why don't you become a light? We tend to forget about evangelism. Let me tell you something, folks. We don't need an evangelism department. This is the evangelism department. Everybody is in the evangelism department. Every Christian is meant to evangelize. Every Christian is meant to tell the world that Jesus died. Instead of some of those stupid, mundane stuff many people post on Facebook, post about Jesus. Pay $5 and reach 2,000 people with that message. I'm going to share with us today two major things that Satan also wants to gain in our lives, and at the same time how we should overcome them. And in the next 2 weeks, I'll round up on this message. Number one, Satan wants you to stumble and question your faith. He wants you to stumble and question your faith. That is why he brings storms. I've had people ask, if God truly is God, why did he allow this? If God is really there, shouldn't he have stopped this situation? Who am I to question who God stops and who it is he doesn't stop? The situation we talk about is not as though we even pray about it. We just think, well, I've made Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, so everything should be hunky-dory. I read of a professor who comes to his class every day as an atheist, and he tells his class, he says, there is no God. How many of you believe there is God? 300 students in the class. Over the years, he comes to that class every beginning of semester. By the end of the semester, when he asks that question again, nobody stands up and raises up their hand. Because on the first day, what he does is, he will hold up a chalk and said, if you say that there is God, then by the time I drop this chalk, your God must stop it from hitting the ground. He will drop the chalk, and the chalk will hit the ground and break and shatter in pieces. See? You see what I mean? There's no God. Until one day, this young man came to that same class. And this professor said, "Who amongst you believe there is God?" The boy stood up. Say, "I." And the man gave him a challenge. He raised up the chalk. Say, "If you say truly there is God, let him stop this chalk from falling into the ground." He dropped it. The chalk fell and shattered in pieces. The boy was disturbed. What an affront. Every day he went to God in prayer. "God, you got to do something about this unbeliever. You got to do something." On the last day of the semester, the man said, "Does any one of you still believe that there is God?" And the boy rose up again. He said, "Yes, there is God." The man rose up again, raised up a chalk, and said, "By the time I drop this chalk, and your God does not stop it from falling, then know that there is no God." He raised up the chalk. The chalk fell from his hand, rolled on his shirt, rolled down his pants, fell on his shoes, and dropped on the floor without breaking. He looked at the boy. He was scared. He ran out of the class. This boy now took over the class and now shared the love of Jesus Christ for all to believe. If he did not stand and take the situation to God in prayer, guess what? God will do nothing. That situation in your life that you are saying, "Where is God?" Did you take it to him in prayer? Did you cast your burdens unto him? The Bible says that those that come to God must know that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not just those who come to church, but those who diligently, morning, noon, and night, seek him. Bible study, prayer time, new month blessing, Holy Communion service. In the morning, you read your open heavens. You pray the word of God. Before you get to work, you pray the word of God. When you are at work, you pray the word of God. And come and tell me if you not feel the presence of God around you. Satan brings those storms so that he can take our attention away, so that we can begin to do things in our own ways outside of God, thinking we can perfect our lives without God. That's not possible. Somebody said that's not possible. Look at what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 4. Verse 20. About Father Abraham. He was aged. He was old. Almost 100 years old. No child. The Bible said, he staggered not, he stumbled not at the promise of God through unbelief. Everything around him showed him it was not possible. But he refused to give in, held on to the word of God. Held on to the word of God. It's not as though he sought anything else, but held on to the word of God. The word of God never returns back to him void. It always achieves the purpose for which it is sent. If we hold on to it, if we dare hold on to the word of God to the end. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith and giving glory in spite of what he did not have, giving glory unto the Lord. What did Peter say in admonition to you and I? 1 Peter 5:9, he said, whom resist steadfast. He's talking about the devil. Resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Don't think you are the only one going through it. Oh, nobody knows the trouble I have seen. Nobody knows what I'm going through. You are not the only one. Sorry. But stand fast. Be steadfast in your faith. Unshakable, unmovable. Regardless of what the devil does. Job is a good example. He remains steadfast until his change came. Satan wants to take the instrument of our victory. He wants you to lose the instrument of your victory. Your faith. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10a, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's talking about your faith. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to kill your faith. He wants to destroy your faith, that you have nothing in God to stand on anymore. He wants Peter. Peter, Satan wants to have you. He wants to sift you. He said, but I have prayed for you that you do not lose your faith. That's what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. Is somebody getting something here? He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You see, any time unbelief makes you to look for another alternative but God, you are not in line with God anymore. I didn't hear an amen in the house. Any time we look for another way outside the will of God to get what we want or what we need, we have defiled our faith. We have become part of them who have looked back. And God said, my soul will have no pleasure in that kind of a person. He says his commandments are not grievous, because his word cannot decay. This God is everlasting. He sits on the throne. He rules in the affairs of men. He has not left his throne. He's still the all-changing God. He's still the all-powerful God. He's still the I can do all things God. Somebody shared a testimony with me about his uncle. They got married in 1998. Every time the wife got pregnant, they lost the baby. One at 22 weeks. Many times. Was as of this last week. God gave them more than they can bargain for. He said in that testimony, we used our resources to help every child we can help. To accommodate everyone we can accommodate. We gave ourselves to the worship of God. To the service of God. We held on to the faith. And God did not disappoint. Let me tell you one thing, folks. There's one thing God will never hold. There's one person God will never hold. He never holds the faithful. Did you understand me? God will never hold the faithful. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Don't lose your faith. Don't let the devil contaminate your faith. Don't let the devil lie to you. It does not matter what he brings to you. Don't let him lie to you. Point number two. I hope I'll have time to finish number two. Satan, and this is big. This is big. Satan wants you to have a victim mentality. A victim mentality. And we have a lot of people in the Bible. Thank God for divine intervention. Amen. Case in point, the children of Israel. They saw God rain plagues over Egypt. 10. One more deadlier than the other. Until the last one, where all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians died, they saw it. They saw God in the pillar of the cloud. They saw God in the pillar of fire. They saw God part the Red Sea for them. These same people still acted as victims. Why did you bring us out? If we were in Egypt now, we won't go hungry. Let me tell you something about a victim mentality. Victim mentalities always pick only one thing they want. But they will not remember all the pain that it cost them. Did you get me? Hallelujah. Oh, no matter what God did for them, they had the victim mentality. With a victim mentality, you will not be able to exercise your faith. Because you'll be looking at other people as the reason why you are where you are. You even blame your color. I've seen black people do stupid things. And police stopped there and said, well, I know it's because I'm black. No, no, no. It wasn't because you stole. Because you shoplifted. Because you pulled a gun at the shopkeeper. It's not because you are black. We know police do stupid stuff too. It's just like driving. In driving school, they will tell you the first cardinal rule is that you be safe. Isn't that right? So it doesn't matter how other people drive. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You just be safe. Oh, it's green light. And you want to speed through. Psh, no. Crazy might be coming through too. So slow down. Because you got to be safe. It's my right of way. So if he stays there, I will hit. No. Be safe. Let him be crazy. But don't be crazy. Because it's your right. Many people have lost their life on their right. You understand what I'm trying to say? Whereas there are other ways they could have gone through it. Praise the Lord. I don't have time to talk about all that. It's not about black versus white now. Praise the Lord. Victims die before they reach their destiny. They die on the way. They don't see the destiny. They don't see the finish line. They don't see their destination. They only see the pity they carry, except for God's intervention. They blame everybody for what they are going through. Victims always look behind. They look to the past. While they don't see the solution that is around them. In the story of Hagar, Genesis 21. She sat down crying. The boy was far away. The Bible said they both shot. And God said, I have heard the cry of the boy. And God gave her a renewed promise, even though she was not in the covenant. She was going to die there. She had the mentality of a victim. Well, I'm a victim. My mistress, she couldn't have children. I had children. Now I'm the one to be blamed. Now they sent me away. Now they did this. What did I do? I don't care what is done against me. I'm not going to allow anybody who did anything against me to have the upper hand. Are you listening to me? I'm going to safeguard my destiny. God intervened and said, stop crying. I've had the cry of the boy. And the Bible says, God now opened our eyes to see a well. The well was there. Nobody can tell me that well was not there. But because she was holding a pity party, a victim party by herself, she couldn't see the solution. Who is in your party? You want people who will cry along with you? Or you want people who will slap you to reality? I say, wake up from your sleep. That's what God did to Joshua. What are you sitting down here crying, my master is dead? Who told you that that is all you have? Rise up and be courageous. You have work to do. And he walked out. And so, another person will walk in. But make sure it's the right person that will walk in. Not the person you'll be telling your story of woe to of the past all the time. And you have nothing good to say about the future. Victim mentality comes from the devil. The book of Daniel 11:32b says, they that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. Hallelujah. Regardless of any man does to you or do to you, if you know your God, you will just shake yourself up. I refuse to be a victim. You know the story of the donkey or the bull and his owner. He got tired, threw him in the well. I'm going to bury you alive. If that donkey was some of us, we just sit down there. The man was shoveling dirt to bury the donkey. As the dirt come upon his body, we shake it off. Stand on it. Shake it off. Stand on it. By the time the man shoveled everything, he was standing face to face with the donkey. The donkey was not buried. The donkey was standing on top of what was shoveled to bury him. What is life throwing at you to keep you down? Somebody say, shake it off. Tell your neighbor, shake it off. You see, When you have the knowledge of God, it's easy to overcome the victim mentality. Gideon saw himself as a victim. He was in a wine press, threshing wheat. And the angel of the Lord came and gave him greeting. Wonderful man of valor. He looked around. Who is he talking to? Okay, if God be for us, why are we going through this? That is what a victim will say. God had to change his mind. Say, you know what, boy? You are not a victim. I've anointed you for exploits. I've anointed you with power. I've anointed you with life. Go in this thy might. There is a might inside you. Rise up with it. Don't sit down while I don't have papers. Well, I can't do anything because I don't have papers. Guess what? When you have paper, you won't do anything. People who have something to do, they don't wait for paper. It is in what they are doing that paper will come to them. What they are doing will attract paper to them. Stop having a victim mentality. Can you imagine, Brother David, a proven warrior with the men he raised by himself, the men he taught by himself? They were in Ziklag. They went out and came back. Everything they had been taken away, raided, families, children, wives, and burnt. Ziklag burnt. The people that followed him that were nobody before now became somebody. They rose up and said, you know what? We are going to stone you. The Bible says, and David was greatly distressed. The victim mentality came upon him. He said, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David, everybody say, but David. He shook off the victim mentality. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He rose up and proved to those people, you know what? I can still lead you back to victory. I can still lead you to bring back our families. If you kill me, you lose your family forever. If he had no hope, he would have given no hope to anybody. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Please, folks, don't let anything in your life turn you into a victim. If you allow yourself to become a victim, Satan has had the best of you. Hallelujah. Turn the table around. I remember when that reporter was interviewing me, many things that we talked about that we said that was not on the news. Pastor, are you not angry? I said, no, I'm not. She asked me again like 3 times. Are you sure you are not? I said, no, I am not. I'm a child of God. I'm a pastor. If I get angry, how am I going to help that guy? Can you imagine me as a pastor standing in the national news and venting anger? Then there's no difference between me and the world. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, we are not like them. Praise the Lord. We are not like them. Remember what I told you on this pulpit a few months ago. I had that revelation, and God told me, kill them with love. It works all the time. It works concerning every situation. If that guy should walk into this church this morning, we kill him with love. He will be in the design department. Did you hear me? That's where he will be. And we tell him, we are not angry against you. We love you. He just needs a mentor. We need to pluck him out of the hands of Satan. Somebody asked me, are you not going to prosecute him? It was that reporter. I said, no. I'm not going to prosecute. Because prosecuting, what's the benefit? What do we gain from that? There's nothing we gain. I remember as a little boy, my father, every night after prayers, because every morning we sit at the piano, my dad would sit at the grand piano, we play, sing hymns, and then the day starts. In the night, we do the same. After which, everybody to your quarter and sleep. But my father will carry his double barrel gun and walk around the whole compound for a few times. And one day, thieves came to our house. He arrested them. He fed them and told them to go. Till I grew up and left that place, no thief ever came back for our compound again. Praise the Lord. No thief. Our house is right by the intersection of the road. Lawansing bus stop. Where all good and bad walk by. But they never miss their road again. Praise the Lord. Paul and Silas. They flocked them. Well, read Acts of Apostles 16 from 16 to 31 or 32. They put them in jail. They could have a victim mentality. Oh, God. And it was you who are serving. Why did all this happen to us? And Silas would say, Brother Paul, it's going to be like this. I'm not going anymore. This is too difficult. No. They turned the table around. Looked at each other. We are not victims. We are not their prisoners. We are prisoners of Christ. We are prisoners of hope. Let us worship God. Let us praise God. With their song in their heart, they praise God and turn the table around against the devil to the extent that there was a physical earthquake, that their chains were broken. Everybody around them heard the gospel and were saved. And the day they said, let them go, they said, no, you are not going to let us go secretly. You flogged us openly. You are not releasing us in secret. Tell everybody. They turned the table around. They refused to become victims. Let's rise up. I want you to remember before we close.